Hebrews chapter 10, just going to read a few verses, starting at verse 19. Therefore, everybody say therefore, if you would. Therefore. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Lord, we come before you this morning in great expectation of what you would do among us. In anticipation and waiting, Lord, do something in us, transform us as the Jews had been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years for a Messiah to come. We celebrate your birth. We look back upon your birth. And we give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, I hope you do celebrate and do know the reason for the season. That is our new series. We will go through four messages on Christmas. We'll take a look at Zechariah and the prophecy of the birth of John the Baptist. Next week, we'll take a look at Mary. Following week, we'll take a look at Joseph. And then on Christmas Day, we'll take a look at the shepherds and the wise men. Amen? Does that sound good? It's Christmas season. You know, we celebrate Christmas season because we all like to get presents. Can I get a witness on that? JJ said, I know what you, we were watching the copy of the Warriors game we taped from Thursday night last night. I know what I want for Christmas. I said, what's that? He says, Warriors merch. Warriors stuff, you know. I got to have some Warriors stuff. And so, yeah, we all like to get stuff. And we like to give stuff. God is good. I remember anticipation of change and transformation in my life. I had been saved maybe, maybe 6 months. I had been drug-free, alcohol-free, and giving my life to the Lord and really kind of searching for him. And it was after about 6 months that things began to come clear. And it was on a Wednesday night. Preacher was preaching on the righteousness of God compared to the righteousness of you. And I said, oh, this is what I want. And I'm telling you, man, I got it, I grabbed on, and I was lit up for the Lord. I would get up at 6 every morning and listen to preaching until 9. Be 6 messages, half-hour messages on the radio. And then they would have talk radio. I'm going to have talk radio. I want preaching. And then at 12, they would have 2 sermons during the lunch hour. And so I get another 2. So that was 8 messages a day I would be listening to. And then I went to church all the time. We had church on Monday night, on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And then they had a singles ministry that met on Friday night. So I'd go there. And I'm like, hey, why is there no church on Tuesday? I need more church. I want all of God. And so I'm just lit up. And about a month later, I'm going to this singles ministry that goes on Monday nights. There's maybe 600-700 people there. And the guy is preaching on the activity of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Whoa, you know, he's quoting from Prophet Joel saying, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. He says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. And I'm like, wow, I am down for that. And he gets to the end of the service, that we're all going to stand and we're going to wait upon a message from the Lord. I'm like, cool, I've not heard of this. I've not experienced it. Yeah. And we're standing there for maybe 20 seconds, maybe 40. And all of a sudden, it's like my legs are on fire. Just, and it just begins to just build. And it's like it's going to explode. Come out of me. And I'm like, oh, Lord, not me. And it was gone. And about 5 seconds later, this other guy starts yelling. So God will come to you. Yes, God, come, come, come. Sometimes we say no. I said no. We take a look at Zechariah today and Elizabeth. Take a look at people who had been serving the Lord for years and years and years. Looking for God to do something. And God did. God did something. He so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And that's why we give gifts at Christmas time to celebrate the greatest gift of all. Amen? God gave out of love. And His gift is big. God's gift is life-changing. And indeed, God steps into history. God steps into our lives to change us. And He comes to us, you know, come to you today. And He says, are you ready for change? And sometimes the answer is no. Not really. Sometimes God just comes to your heart and say, oh, Lord, I'm so ready. I'm so ready for change. Title of today's message, Ready for a Change. We're going to look at Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. One says no, and one says yes. Let's take a look. Amen? All righty. I think my clicker is fixed. Hallelujah. Thank you for your prayers. Yes, yes, yes. Lined up on the kingdom. All right, we're going to take a look. We're going to read through, 25, 30 verses in Luke chapter 1. Start at verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. And his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them are righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. And both Zechariah and Elizabeth are living the devout life. And being devout, that means they're into prayer, they're into the word, they're into the church. They're like doing priest kind of stuff. And they were doing it good. They were blameless. I'm telling you, if there's something that would be on my headstone, blameless in the sight of God would be right up there. Can I get a witness on that? And you know what I get out of it is that God was looking. They were blameless in the sight of God. God is paying attention. Zechariah is a priest. He comes and he works 2 weeks a year and all the major feasts. It's kind of like being in the Army Reserve, you know, a couple years, a couple of weeks, a month, and a weekend every now and again. And you're hooked up. And there were so many priests that they divvied it up, and there was 24 divisions that they would work. God's paying attention to Zechariah. God's paying attention to Elizabeth. God's paying attention to you. Yes. See, God likes priests. Can I get a witness on that? And you know what? He wants to make a nation of priests of which you are a part. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people. That means you. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have done that because He chose you before you chose Him. Amen? And He chooses you to know Him, and He chooses you to serve Him, and He chooses you to be a royal priesthood, and we come together and we form a holy nation. God's special possession. He puts His arms around you and says, I love you. That you might declare His praises. We declared His praises this morning when we sang in Spanish and in English. Oh, and I've been told that you who don't habla, that means you who don't speak Spanish and are sitting in the Spanish section, you're going to have to squeeze it forward. Because we got Latinos and Latinas back there that are crammed in. This is the Spanish section. There's an anointing. Amen? And so if you speak Spanish, that's a place for you, because we want you to have assistance in the traducción and all that kind of stuff. You are a chosen people. God wants to make you into more. God wants to step into your life and make a change. And sometimes people say no. Realistically, Lord, what I want you to do is give me stuff, not change me. And the question is how do you respond when Jesus says, I step right in here and you can walk with me? And so often we say, God, I'd just rather have you walk with me rather than me walk with you. Because you start walking with God and you start walking a different direction.
That's right.
Amen? He might change your pace, slow you down or speed you up. Some of us, we accept the Lord and we're not moving at all. Called frozen chosen. I'm not moving. I'm loving the Lord, but I'm not going anywhere. He said, come on, we got to move. Time to change. Time to be changed. Living the devout life. These were church folks. If anybody's going to say yes to the Lord, it should be a priest. Can I get a witness on that part? Zechariah, we're going to take a look at him. In all of this faithfulness, all of this obedience to God, his word and prayer, serving, all that kind of stuff, they're not being blessed. They are childless. Elizabeth says at the end of the chapter, it's a disgrace. And in this disgrace, in this lack of a blessing, they continue in their faithfulness to God. See, there's a lot of people that just kind of say, God, I'm giving up on this. There's no payoff for me in this. I think I'm going to go my own way. And what that is, it's a great big no to the plan of God, because I'm not getting paid off. A lot of people get used to saying no to God. Amen? Let's keep going. Chosen four, change. Once when Zechariah's division, 24 divisions, 2 weeks a year, was on duty, he was serving as a priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time for burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Zechariah got chosen to burn incense. Chosen by lot. They would choose stones. He served twice a year. He served during the feast time when the temple would just be overwhelmed with people. And he was chosen now. He was chosen to burn incense. It was a once in a lifetime opportunity. Because there were so many priests. Once you got into, the temple's a big old place. All right? And that building in the middle, that is what holds the holy place and the most holy place. And the whole temple, or the temple of the Lord, is like 45 feet long, basically about that long, and 15 feet wide. Realistically, the holy place, that front area, is just about as big as our platform. Okay? But the temple is huge. We're talking about Herod's temple. And the priests are in there working. The people are all over doing all kind of stuff. And Zechariah, who's an old man, been a priest all his life. His dad was a priest. His grandpa was a priest. His great-grandpa was a priest. Great-great-grandpa was a priest. They're all priests. And they would talk about the one time I got to go into the holy place. Life-changing moment. Step into, because that back part, that's the Ark of the Covenant. That back part, that's where the presence of God resides. And to be waiting your whole life for the opportunity to go into that front area and to go and to light incense. To walk through that giant edifice at the time of prayer. And to move through, come near to God. time of prayer. Psalm says, may my prayer be set before you like incense. Once in a lifetime, waiting his whole life, burn the incense. At the time of prayer, the incense goes up before the Lord like a prayer. He's right next to the most holy place. He's right next to the place where God resides on the earth. What do you figure Zechariah prays? What would you pray? How real is your prayer in that moment? That life-changing prayer, that openness to God, that intensity. What do you desire most? When have you met with God? Aaron talked about just getting rushed with the presence of God this morning. He talks about his opportunity to meet with the Lord regularly in his home. We talked on Wednesday night about the opportunity to meet with the Lord and to just embrace his presence. I remember surrendering my life to the Lord after 15 years of drugs and alcohol. I said, Lord, you can have my life. I've destroyed it. And right then, the Holy Spirit came into my life. I remember the call of the Lord. Sunday night at church, 1,000 people there. Maybe 100 came forward. I remember, Lord, I'll go wherever you send me. Lord, please just don't send me to a boring white middle-class church. Remember reaching out to the Lord after being here, I don't know, 10 years. It's so hard, God. And he says, once you quit trying to do my job, he says, I'll save them. You grow them. Yes, Lord. So you come into those opportunities with the Lord. You say yes. You say no. Because he come in and say, you mean yes? You mean yes? You say yes, we're going to change some things. And sometimes we go, oh, I was joking. I meant no. And move on. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. See, God says yes. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. I've never experienced that. Can you imagine that your most intimate prayer, open your eyes, and there is an angel standing there? Standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled. I guess so. He was afraid. Zechariah is afraid. He was consumed with fear, gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Oh, that's what I want to hear from heaven. Can I get a witness on that? Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you were to call him John. John means God is gracious. Zechariah is chosen to burn incense. Walks into the holy place at the time of prayer. Intensity was great. Presence of the Lord is great. Probably has the good tunic on. Might even have a brand new tunic. He's been going through in his mind. Okay, you know, I'm going to go. I'm going to light the match. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. You know, how do you do it? This is what you do. You walk over here. Because you don't want to, like, have the match go out. What are you going to do with busted, you know, I don't know, this candle, whatever. I don't know how they lit it. You don't want to pour out the candle. You know, oh, I spilled something in the most holy place. So he's going through this. And he's thinking, what do I pray for? What do I pray for? And he's lighting that match. God, give me a son. Elizabeth and I, we have We have served you our whole lives, Lord. Give us a son. Hear my heart, Lord. Help me understand. Give me a son. Gripped with fear. Holy places, 15 by 30. Luke says that the angel appeared. I'm assuming that he wasn't there when he entered. Luke would have wrote it different. He walked in and there was an angel standing there. He's gripped with fear. Give me a son, Lord. Give me a son. Gabriel's standing right next. I mean, it's this big, right? There's a table in here and all of a sudden, whoa, angel. Don't be afraid. Your prayer's heard. You're going to have a son. Your prayer's been heard. That could cut through fear. What? Your prayer's been heard. What? You're going to have a son. Elizabeth, your wife, going to give you a son. And you're going to name him John. Is that what you're looking for? Are you ready for yes, Lord? Yes. I am down for that. And then he tells them, what's going to change in his life. What's going to happen in his life. He's going to be a joy and delight. Man, you're going to have a great kid. You know, he prayed for Ezekiel. He's back there. He's sick. You know, little Ezekiel, you know, like little one-year-old Ezekiel, the little cool kid, smiles at you, waves. He's learned how to wave and smile. He's sick. That kid is a joy. I'll tell you what, he's a joy and delight to me. Can I get a witness on that? I don't have to watch him 24 hours, so I just get the little joy and delight zone, maybe. But I'm thinking that is a pretty good kid. Can I get a witness on that? That's like grandpa joy. Yeah, just take him away when he's sick. I don't need that kid. No, I'll pray for him. Over there. There you go. He's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. You want the Lord telling you, Lisa, God day, would you love to hear from God? Josh is going to be great in my sight. Woo! Glory! Yes! I'm going to bank on it. I mean, it's like, no, I don't think so, Lord. Yes! I'll take that deal. Gabriel lays out the change. He's going to be great. He's going to serve me. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Luke tells us chapter 7, I tell you among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. John is part of the all-star team. He is part of the top of the Old Testament prophets. He is right up there with Moses. He is right up there with Daniel. Right up there with Elijah. No one greater than John. He is going to do something mighty in your day. And then he continues on. He's going to minister in the power and spirit of Elijah. Well, we've been talking in our last series called Finding Faith about the coming of the Messiah. And prophecy says that Elijah's got to come first. And he says, and he starts reading, and he starts quoting from Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And he says, see, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children toward their parents. And he's saying, I'm going to have a message that's going to go out to Israel that's going to return them back to a worship of me. And their ancestors will look down and they're going to be pleased in their hearts. And there's a transformation that's going to happen. There's change that's going to happen in Israel. It's going to come through your son. And I'm telling you, an old priest, an old preacher, as he starts hearing about Elijah, and he starts hearing about quotes from Malachi, the bells start going off. It is time for a Messiah to come. Amen? Yeah. Time for change. Some people say yes. Some people say no. You know, I talk about, we go out to the skate park. Dana, Wendy, and I, every day, and Sally went on Friday. We feed the kids, and we got the Jesus table, and tell them about the Lord, and opportunities of the Lord, and we run into such hardness. praying for Jessica. Oh, man. Thursday and Friday, reaching out to Jessica. She's going, let's go. Let's go to church. Oh, man. Whew. It'll help you pray. But I've talked to him about how real the Lord can be. Describe stuff like what Ezekiel is happening and opportunity from the Lord is just so manifest and so real. Say, so you want to know if God's real? Oh, yeah, I want to know if God's real. All-powerful God, you want to know if he's real? Yeah! Can I pray for you? No. God answers that prayer, all of a sudden faced with a choice. You want change or not? And as open as they say they are, not had one of them say, yeah, I want to know if God's real. I want to ask God to show him to me. And that's a no. Amen? All right. Many struggle with yes. Zechariah is struggling with yes. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? Catch the picture here. I'm in the temple. I'm in the holy place. I'm in the once-in-a-lifetime shot. I just lit the incense. I got my brand new tunic on. There's an angel standing in front of me, and I'm like, I don't know. I mean, if there's a time when you're just going to roll over and say, I'm thinking this is Lord, I'm thinking this is the time. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Yeah, I think this could be God sending a message. How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is old. He's not real wise. There's some things you don't say about your wife, gentlemen. Can I get a witness on that? Yes. Well, maybe. He said she's well along. He said I was old. She's well along. Maybe he's pretty smart. The angel said to him, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you, to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until this day happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. And Zechariah is hesitating in the face of change. Responds in doubt. Can I really believe you, Gabriel? Mm-mm-mm. He says, let me help you out, Zechariah. I'm Gabriel. Maybe you read about me in the book of Daniel. And I stand in the presence of God. Bible tells us Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Can I get a witness on that? And it's kind of like Gabriel's got a foot in the throne room and a foot in the holy place of the temple, and he's in both places at once, and he's got a message for Zechariah, and he says, let me help you out today, Zechariah. You faithful priest, you blameless priest, you obedient priest, let me help you out in your faith so that you can grab on to this plan of change for your life that comes from the throne room of God. When you leave this room, you won't be able to talk. Oh. And you won't be able to talk until all this comes true. You might be hoping it comes true. Can I get a witness on that? Let me help you with this. Because the answer from Zechariah is like, well, maybe. God steps into your life. It's for change. You can say yes, or you can say no. Tracking with me? And God steps in. God makes a change. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me. In these days, He has shown me his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Something was going on in the temple. Zechariah's taking too long. Wonder what's taking Zechariah so long. Probably just hanging out. Presence of God. It does not appear that we have the complete dialogue between Zechariah and Gabriel. And maybe Zechariah is trying to hold Gabriel up. Hey! I meant yes! Yeah, it's good. Send me a son. Elizabeth, you'll be fine. I'm fine. I'm feeling pretty young. I really meant yes. You can't always just turn a no into yes. You can't just, when you meet with the Lord and he's speaking right to your heart and a no comes out. I didn't mean it. Doesn't really work. Didn't work for Zechariah. Took him a minimum, you do the math, a minimum of 9 months to get to a point where he could say yes. Are you tracking with me? You had to go home. You had minimum of 9. Can I get a witness on that? Unless John the Baptist was premature. Took me several years before I felt that fire in my legs again. It was in a time of prayer, not prophecy. But I felt that fire coming up my legs. I was like, yes, Lord, yes. I think I prayed for 20 minutes. The guy had asked for several of us to pray. I kind of took all the prayer time that day. I didn't ask for anybody else after me. So these guys pray long. It was at Bible college. I just prayed what the Lord put in my heart. Yes, Lord, yes, yes, yes. I have felt that 3 or 4 times in the last 20 years. It is unique. And when it happens, I say yes. Elizabeth had yes on her lips. Oh, yes, Lord. I don't care how old I am. I'll take a son. I'll name him John. I'll name him Johnny. I'll name him John John. I'll name whatever you want him to be named. Lord, I have a yes on my lips. You do whatever you want with my life. And she says, the Lord has done this for me. I mean, a lady well advanced in years having that morning sickness. Yes, Lord, yes. Give me all of it. Because sometimes yes, and the change that comes from the Lord is not the most convenient thing for you. Can I get a witness on that part? And she goes on, and she has a little baby boy, and he is filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk next week about Mary receiving the message of the Lord, and that boy jumps in her womb as Mary comes near from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that boy is born, and Zechariah is there, and she says, we're going to name him John. And they say, nobody's named John in your family, and Zechariah, bless out, his name is John. And his maybe goes to a yes. His no goes to a yes. God steps into his life and into Elizabeth's life, and they are transformed because they join God in change. My question is for you this morning. You got a yes on your lips, or do you have a no on your lips? Do you want God to come in and just totally transform you? Then you say yes. See, so many of us give up on change. You come on up, Lisa. So many of us, you know, just figure that God is far away. And the kingdom is far away. Jess said, how come God doesn't answer prayer? And she talked about the prayer that she prayed for her family when she was a little girl. She didn't tell me specifically what. And I said, you know what? God's not going to force anybody to do anything. And you pray for your dad to do what your dad's supposed to do. He's not just going to step in and make him into a robot. I'm sorry about that, Jess. But you ask him, and he'll come into your life, and he'll transform you. See, so many of us think that God, like Jess did, he's just far away. And he didn't answer any prayer. He didn't answer any prayer for me. And I want to let you know this morning, that the kingdom of God is right here. He said, where two or three are gathered in His name, I am right there with you. And that as you come face to face with the kingdom of God this morning, and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, and He steps into your life, and He says, do you want this? Some, and many of you have said, yes, Lord. But some doubt, and some say no. I got to ask you, what is your deepest desire from God? That if you actually came face to face with a risen Savior, and He said, whatever you ask, if you ask in my name, if you ask according to my will, you have it. If you ask according to my will, I will hear you. Gabriel said to Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. This morning, as Jesus is in this room, the Holy Spirit hovers across this place, and He holds out nail-pierced hands. He says, this is what I did for you. Do you want to change? Do you want to join me in changing the world?